Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is the second lesson in answering the question, must one be a member of the Church of Christ to be saved? And we want to emphasize that when we say Church of Christ, we're simply referring to that which is revealed in the Bible. We're talking about that kingdom that belongs to God. And we know that the citizens of the kingdom are soldiers of the cross. The Christian life, it's pictured to us in a number of different ways. Sometimes as a walk, or taking a journey, running a race, or fighting a warfare. It's even pictured as labor and a vineyard. And there are other ways. And Paul told Timothy, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul urged the brethren in Ephesus to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. And this indicates that the soldier was going into battle. And he urged everyone to fight the good fight of faith, as he told Timothy. And he said when he had come toward the last of his days, he had fought a good fight. Furthermore, Christ is the captain of our salvation. And all of these expressions simply show, by military terms, who serves Christ. Now, there are two great forces antagonistic to each other in the world, spiritual forces, namely good versus evil, right versus wrong, darkness versus light, God versus Satan. Every person is on one side or the other. There's no neutrality, even though some have deceived themselves into thinking they can remain uncommitted. But Christ said you're either for him or you're against him. He said you can't serve two masters. And when we speak of one being in the church that belongs to Christ, we only mean that he's enlisted in the army of the Lord. Can anyone biblically contend that we can be saved serving in the army of the devil? Now, the church is called the body of Christ, friend, in Ephesians 1 and also Colossians 1. As we have mentioned, Christ is the head. Christians are members of the body. And this figure is used to show the relationship of Christ to Christians and Christians one to the other. When a person is under Christ, he's under the control of the head. When one is separated from Christ, as one who maybe never belonged to him, or one has been cut off from the body, why, he's outside of Christ. Would anyone who believes the Bible suggest for a moment that one can be saved apart from Christ? Now, our redemption is in Christ, Ephesians 1. Salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2:10. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, Romans 8:1. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. And certainly salvation is a spiritual blessing. You see, he's the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5:23. And he's the only Savior, Acts 4 and verse 12. And listen, friend, there is but one body, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. So there is but one church, which Christ is the head and of which Christ is the Savior. And this is what it means to be a member of the Church of Christ. It means being a member of his body. It means being in him, where salvation is. Do you know that the church of the Lord is also called the family of God in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15? The family of God, the house of God, the household of God, and that includes all of his children. There are no children outside of his family, but the church is that family. And this is the definition of the church. And when one is born again, he is born into the family of God. He becomes a child of God. At one and the same time, he becomes a member of the church, because that which one does to be saved is that which one does to become a member of the church. Too many have listened too long to false teachers that have taught you do one thing to be saved and something else to become a member of some denomination. Now, it's true. You do one thing to be saved and something different to join a denomination. You never read in the Bible of anybody ever having an experience to have to tell, or to be voted on one way or another, or to simply pray the sinner's prayer, or such things as that. You just don't read that in the Bible. I don't know why people take it upon themselves to teach that this is what people ought to do, not if they profess to be a Bible believer. But what one does to be saved is exactly the same thing one does to become a brother of the church. You see, the Lord added the saved to the church. And those in the New Testament who had heard the gospel and believed in Christ as the Son of God and had obeyed that gospel in repentance and confession of Christ and baptism into Christ, as did those on Pentecost and other places, they're added by the Lord to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. One cannot be saved without being born again, John chapter 3, and one cannot be saved outside of God's family. Therefore, one cannot be saved outside of the church that belongs to Christ, because the church is God's family. Keep in mind, this never refers in the Bible to some denomination. The church existed literally centuries before there was such a thing as the denominations. There's no authority from God to belong to such things as that. We want to be a member of the church for which Christ died. But someone might justifiably ask, what denomination does one join when he becomes a Christian? When he enlists in the army of the Lord, when he enters the body, when he's born again. Friend, isn't it fair to suggest that people today ought to join the same denomination that people in the New Testament joined? And what denomination did they join? Well, of course, there were no denominations for people to join. People didn't join any denomination. They just simply didn't exist. They obeyed the gospel, and they were added to the church, and they were called Christians, Acts 11 and verse 26. And I want you to reason with me. If people could be Christians, if people were Christians in the first century, if people were members of the Lord's church without being in a denomination then, why cannot the same thing be true today? Indeed, it can. Indeed, it ought to be just that way. It is that way to be biblical. And this is what members of the Church of Christ are urging. This is what we're pleading with the world to see and to do, to simply take the church that we read about in the New Testament and to restore that church by teaching the doctrine that the people heard, to believe it and to obey it. Well, someone might ask in this connection, can one join a denomination anyway? Well, I'm inclined to ask this question after that. Why join one? What benefit is there to belonging to something of which the scripture never mentions? Furthermore, are we not taught we're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians 5:11? And those who teach a different doctrine we're not to have fellowship with them, 2 John 9-11? And the divided, chaotic, confused, contradictory nature of the denominational world, it's an abomination against the prayer of Christ of John 17 and verse 17. It flies into the face of Paul's inspired condemnation of division, of which we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We are, and we are interested in, New Testament Christianity. And that's what's revealed in the Scripture. That's what's revealed by the authority of Christ. Many churches are not the teaching of the gospel. There's one church, oh yes, many congregations, but one cannot support something that's without the Lord's authority and be pleasing to Him. Why should we condone a spectacle that's not biblical? So the answer to the question that we have studied, it's very clear, it's very simple. We understand what the Bible teaches respecting the church. We know what it is. We know of what it is composed. One cannot be saved outside of the church that belongs to Christ. And if one can, why did He build it? Why did He die for it? Why did He promise to save it? Why did Paul say that Christ would save it? And he says anything about Him saving anything else? Where's the biblical evidence that He's going to save denominations? The answer is clear. Now, it's not always readily accepted, to be sure. But those who want just plain truth of the Bible, they will readily and easily accept it, and they'll conform to the teaching of Christ regarding the entering and remaining faithful in the Lord's church. By hearing the gospel, and by faith in Christ as the Son of God, by repentance of sins, by confession of Christ, and by baptism for the remission of sins, these are things that our Lord taught. These are things that the apostles taught as they went about preaching the gospel. These are the things that caused the establishment of the various congregations of which we read in the New Testament. This is the way people were saved back then. This is the way that one enters the Lord's army. This is how he becomes a citizen in the kingdom of God. This is how he becomes a child in the family of God. So you see, dear friend, the question is not really all that too difficult to answer, provided, as I said in the first lesson, provided we stay with Thus saith the Lord. Now, if you are one who is content to follow after what maybe your ancestors followed, or what some denominational creed might teach, or what some favorite clergyman might declare, or what something of that nature is on your heart and mind, then these things probably will not register with you too much. But I am appealing to those who say they want the Bible. They believe the Bible. Well, let's take what the Bible says. And if you'll take what the Bible says, you're going to declare, there is but one church. There is but one body. It belongs to Christ. And those who are in the church that belongs to Christ, they are the ones who are going to receive the eternal benefits of the Christ that he died on the cross to provide. We plead with one and all not to be prejudiced against the truth because of the past, but simply be open-minded and to see what Scripture says. No, we're not asking people to accept anything on our authority. We don't believe following the authority of men. We believe in following the authority of the Word of God, and that's the Bible. And the Bible teaches that one must be a member of the church that belongs to Christ in order to be saved. Whether you believe that or not, your faith in it or your disbelief in it is not going to change it one way or another. It's a necessity to be in the Lord's church. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.